Welcome to another edition of ILTA's Women Who Lead, where we take a look at influential women in innovation and tech. Today, I'm thrilled to turn it over to two of our amazing Women Who Lead members, Jima Kato and Catherine Monte. Here we go, ladies.
Hi, my name is Jima Kato, and I'm the Director of Knowledge Management and Innovation at Gibson, Dun & Crutcher.
And I'm Catherine Monte. I'm the Chief Knowledge and Innovation Officer at Fox Rothschild in Philadelphia. And today, we are here with Carmen Ballou, and I would love, Carmen, if you could give us a quick introduction yourself.
Sure. I am Carmen Ballou. I am the Director of Data Insights and Analytics at Alas. Alas is a insurance company that insures law firms for legal malpractice.
Well, we welcome you, and we're looking forward to our discussion. We're going to start off with questions about your background. And I always like to throw out what I call a fun question first. And this is really about, you know, thinking about your friends, your coworkers, your family. If you could let us know, how would they describe you in a few adjectives? What would they say about you in terms of your characteristics?
Oh, no. That's a very good question. I would have to say, they would probably say I'm a little intense. always trying to learn something new, always trying to tackle a new problem. So I would say that's there. I think my kids might also say that. I kind of like to dig into their stuff and teach them something new as well. So we're kind of all on that path together.
Well, I guess that kind of leads into what you're doing now and how you were growing up. Did you think you would be where you're at? Like, what did you want to be when you were younger? And did you ever think you'd be where you are today?
Not necessarily. Although I think, you know, as I graduated high school, I wanted to be a math teacher. And so I entered college actually as a math major. But I will say that basically Calc 3 as a freshman honestly, a class with, say, two women, and we were the only freshmen with a bunch of upperclassmen, kind of scared me off for a bit. So moved away then from the math side, became a history major, which then is not surprising that I ended up a lawyer. but didn't always love being a lawyer, kept landing on sort of project management or the math side of complex litigation. Which is how, after about 4 or 5 year break, actually, to stay at home with my kids when they were little, I came back to work on more of the operations side and then the data analytics side. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
In your peer-to-peer column and your comments, you were talking a lot about leadership qualities that you feel are really important. And I'm assuming you're drawing from your position today. And what really impressed me was you said a couple of things. One is, you know, make tough decisions, have hard conversations, especially in the moment, which I think is very critical, but very difficult. And don't be afraid to admit you were wrong. So can you go into a little bit more detail about maybe one or two of them or all of them? I mean, they're simple on the surface, but I do think they're core to being a great leader. And let us know about, you know, what do you think about that and how do you practice that?
I mean, I think this was a brand new group, essentially, right? I mean, we built this from scratch 3 years ago. Essentially, our first employee came on, and now we're like at about 8-9 people in this group. So that sort of meant, though, that we've had to make decisions about how to grow and what projects to tackle. So, you know, I think when you're talking about data and all of these projects, I mean, you could get 100 different ideas thrown at you. And it's really, really hard to sort of say, what are those projects that we need to tackle first? And so I think that's, you know, there's a million ideas of ways to get data and a million ways to analyze it. And so I think what became important was sort of, you know, let's pick a data source, let's pick one that we can actually analyze, and then let's pick what we want out of it. And that became, you know, just sort of narrowing in on what was possible and what was doable became very important for us piece by piece. In terms of maybe decisions we've had to make, I mean, those have been sort of priority decisions that were kind of always analyzing. I mean, in the data space, and I think a lot of IT, obviously we're working with a lot of consultants, and that is obviously often a time that you have to admit maybe you made a mistake, right? This person who sold themselves as being an expert in this area turned out not to be. And so that can be a way that, you know, you have to go back to your team and say, hey, listen, we had these people come in and do this work for us, but, you know, they're not cutting it. We're going to have to find somebody else who is better at helping us in this specific area.
Can you also just expand a little bit about the making hard conversations in the moment, not just with consultants, but I imagine, again, being a manager, being a leader?
Yes. I guess, knowing my team is going to listen to this, or I hope they will. I mean, I hope they'll call me on it if I don't do it as well as I should. But, you know, I mean, it is easier, you know, sometimes just to gather somebody right after a meeting and say, you know, hey, you did a great job on this. But, you know, if I were you, I might have like tried to follow up on this one specific point right there in the meeting, because otherwise now we've got to like send an email back and clarify it, or, you know, something of that sort. So I try to do it with my team. I'm certain they're going to tell me I'm still not as good as I could be on it. but I do think, you know, the sooner you can kind of address things and say, we do a lot of data visualization work. And the sooner you could sort of say, ooh, that graphic just isn't working for me, the better, before somebody's gone down a path of designing it, you know, making a whole web page around it, you sort of say, yeah, let's try that one in a different way.
I wanted to harken back to something that you mentioned earlier in the podcast that you experienced in college that I think may be a thread throughout your entire career, but do you find it challenging to be a woman in your position and your role?
I did get a chance to revisit essentially that college question. I'd always wondered, should have I gone back and actually done that math major? And I did get a chance to do that. I got my master's in data analytics recently, just graduated in May. But that program was also still 2/3, 3/4 men. And so it's very interesting. I mean, I do actually think at ILTA and ILTA IT, I do run into, it sometimes feels like more women than I do in other IT settings. Certainly talking to the two of you, Catherine and Jima, I mean, on the innovation and the KM side, there do seem to be more women, but on that pure data analytics side, there just still are not that many women in the space. Has it been a challenge? I don't know that I felt really a lot of bias from it. I mean, people around me have been very supportive. There are times, right, like sort of said, I kind of wished I'd been doing this for 20 years so that the programming and the math would be more second nature now. And, you know, so maybe I am still kind of dealing with that bad situation in college a little bit still today. But overall, I mean, I've been very supported by Alas, have created a good group of other Chicago legal data scientists that we connect and support each other. So, you know, the legal data science community, it's very, very small. And it's been very opening and welcoming to new people.
In terms of mentors, can you think of someone or a few people in your life who have helped you along the way, whether they be women or men? You said you have a good community of peers, which is great. But do you have a specific mentor that you can share with us?
So I'm going to name two, right? One is my current boss, Jeff Wood. He is the chief actuary at Alas. So when they were starting this group and looking for senior management leadership, this is, you know, maybe an area that Alas is different from typical law firms, you know, rolling the data analytics effort up to the actuarial side made a lot of sense. They'd already been working with the data. He's not a lawyer, so I brought the law side to that. The other who deserves some credit as a mentor, who you also know, Catherine, is Andrew Baker. I got introduced to him through HBR, and it turned out that we were actually in the same data analytics program at University of Chicago. And he has been, you know, very willing to have conversations all the time, even when he's not a consultant anymore, about what are my personal goals, what are the goals that I have for my work. And it's been very appreciated.
So I wanted to follow up, Carmen, on a few names that you mentioned in peer-to-peer, you know, inspirations from social media sources that have really helped you. And if you could talk about one or two of them, I think it would be really interesting to know more about. And this is a whole new area for me, so this was great to hear about it.
Right. A couple of names, and Michelle Silverthorne is local to Chicago, but she's been very active in diversity initiatives across law firms. So has written a new book, and then she really put some very thoughtful LinkedIn posts together that are very good in terms of just checking my privilege, thinking about how I'm approaching things. Some of the other names I actually mentioned relate a little bit to AI, including the Poet of Code, who's out of MIT's Media Lab. And Joy and others are really working hard at actually addressing the ethics in AI. And it's not surprising that I suppose as a lawyer who actually works at an insurance company that focuses on legal ethics, that I would become very interested in AI ethics. And that's certainly a topic that maybe once I get a little more free time, I want to dig in more to personally. And so, you know, there's just a variety of names that I follow along there. So, and then I think just very quickly back to your question about having conversations in the moment, Catherine. I mean, I do think Allison Green and Ask the Manager is one of the best at having helping you phrase those in the moment, like conversations and helping with team management. Her blog is great.
That's great.
I wanted to ask what you find has been your biggest obstacle and how have you overcome it?
Biggest obstacle is probably that, quite honestly, I think I've already said this, so I don't want to say it too many times, but hardcore math and calculus, revisited it 20 years later, is just hard. And statistical notation is still just not second nature to me. And I work at it. I work at it in terms of my data science role to be able to understand it good enough to be able to talk to the people that I'm working with. That said, you sometimes have to use your challenges to be pluses. There is a lot of advantage in, there continues to be a need for people who can translate the technical to the layperson. And so when I don't understand something, it's a good opportunity for me to, you know, just ask questions and try to get the data science people, try to get the actuaries to explain things in a way that I can understand in hope that I can help explain it as well to additional people.
Yeah, I would imagine that's a big skill, kind of being that liaison between sort of the two different portions of what you have to do, is sort of translating that data, because you're creating visualizations for, I would imagine, all sorts of different people to understand and digest. So it's not just the super techie math geeks, but it's the, you know, it's the lawyers who need to be able to understand it. So I think you kind of walk that line. And
It is. And we put a lot of our materials, basically, I mean, our audience is almost all lawyers, so who are smart, who like to read, but we do have to translate data science concepts and statistical concepts into ways that make sense for their day-to-day legal practice.
Sort of wrapping up here a little bit, wanted to ask you if you had the chance to do anything differently, what would it be? Is there anything you would do slightly different? And by the way, I just want to say and confess that I took calculus pass-fail for a reason. That's all I'm going to say. I did pass, though. Did pass. Okay.
I don't know. On the career path, part of me maybe wishes somebody in college had said, well, you don't have to be a pure math major to use some quantitative skills. Like you could try finance or you could try something like that. And that might have headed me down a path earlier. On the other hand, you know, I recently wrapped up reading a book, Range, which talks about the value in having a broader worldview. And so if I hadn't practiced law for 7 years, you know, I wouldn't be one of these sort of few legal data science geeks out there. And so the experiences have really all worked together to work out well. So it might've been nice maybe to get there faster. On the other hand, legal data science didn't exist too much more before I got into it. So I'm not sure how much I could have changed.
Well, Part of the wrap up is to ask where you see yourself. Give us describe a scene of your future. Where do you see things going?
Sure. I mean, one of the fun things actually that we've done, and so we've our group has started as pure data, but we've started to dabble a little bit more in things that seem closer to innovation, as you say. I mean, if we collected a data set. I think maybe we thought originally we would just collect the data set and do data science on it. But what's become very obvious is, oh, wait a minute, let's use that data. Let's automate that process. Let's help the rest of, you know, the company, you know, be more efficient in how they get information and how they, you know, are able to analyze things, how they are able to make decisions. And so that's really what we're personally, I'm working on a lot over the next year, is let's pull in more of those third-party data sets, not just to, you know, run data science on them and create some metrics and do some benchmarking, but let's also see how we can help everybody else, you know, be more efficient in their day-to-day work. So I'm excited about getting to, you know, do it more of that as well.
Thank you so much, Carmen, for being with us today. We really enjoyed this conversation, and we look forward to hearing more about what you're going to do.
Well, thank you very much for having me.